And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Just don't punch out, you know, Bob Barker.
I would never punch Bob Barker. I wouldn't do that.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Under the Radar, your most favorite in-season fantasy baseball podcast. With me, as always, my friend and yours, Derek Rabba.
Good morning.
Your friend and mine, Ian Kahn.
Hello, my friends. Good to talk to you this morning. Fine Tuesday morning.
Sorry, I almost jumped in the middle there. I didn't think you were going to call it a fine Tuesday morning.
I just went for it because the weather's nice.
It is, right?
Yeah, beautiful here in New York. Stunning.
Do you get the feeling like, you know, the weather's nice here, so it must be nice everywhere? Like, I'm in one of those moods when it's beautiful out like this, and I'm like, yeah, it's a great day for everyone. People should be happy on Twitter. And then,
Twitter?
Yeah, I don't
happy
know,
on
man.
Twitter is not... It's too bad. You know, I have the two accounts. I've got the regular account and then the fantasy baseball account.
Oh, yeah?
And I have really been living just on the fantasy baseball account. But the fantasy baseball account, it's as tough as the regular account these days. I mean, it's just very, very confrontational. Very tough to watch. Tough to look at. But you know, some good information out there.
Unfollow yeah, people. All right.
Yeah.
Right?
And so I think you're probably right. I think that is the move.
I have a lot of mutes that, like, a lot of mutes. And I gleefully mute people now.
Gleefully? Well, it's better than blocking people. Blocking people's tough.
Yeah, muting, they never know they're muted. So, you know, you keep friendships even though they suck on Twitter, you know?
Yeah, I guess. But so, but a beautiful day here in New York. And I'm talking to my buds and we're talking about fantasy baseball. And someone is going to get a talking to on this show today. Not one of you two, but someone else is going to get a talking to.
Well, I mean, you can't. Would you like to tease that or give us a time into the show when you'd like to bring that up?
It's about your mean Mercedes. Somebody's going to get a talking to about something that they wrote on Twitter about your mean Mercedes and about your love of your mean Mercedes.
Oh, actually, this might be the same person I kind of wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? So I think I read the same thing you did, and it accused me of liking every prospect ever.
Yeah.
I don't want to come across like that. Like, I hope that's not how it comes across.
Stop. I'm
because I'm like, man, am I doing that? Because, you know, you don't know, like, you say until someone tells you, like, oh, you say a lot on air.
Nando, you say a lot on air. No,
I know.
No, Chris,
it's part of the charm.
Chris, our friend from Baseball Pods, very, very nice man, very intelligent man, liked the guy a lot, was going to get such a spanking on Twitter, but there was so much spanking going on that I just thought I'd save it for the show. He said, he was talking about your mean Mercedes, and he literally said on his Twitter, why is it that no fantasy analysts were talking about your mean Mercedes? And I'm like, I know you listen to the show there, Chris. You give us a lovely write-up every week. How have you not been hearing Nando DeFino talking about your mean Mercedes for years, to the point that when he came up, I was like, there he is. And he was like, your mean Mercedes just got called up. That was Nando. And then when he went 5 for 5 and then 3 for 3, I just went, that's why Nando has that little spark of genius in him. And then I read this from Chris and I was like, and then someone posted to him, well, what about Nando DeFino? I mean, Nando has been talking about him for a really long time. And he said, Nando loves everybody. No, he doesn't. Nando loves your mean Mercedes. And Nando's been talking about your mean Mercedes. So if you drafted your mean Mercedes because crazy Nando DeFino in your 50 round draft, your team is better because of it. So that's why the show, literally, that's why we do the show Under the Radar, to find these guys. And I've got somebody later in the show that I'm super excited to talk about.
Did you put him in the rundown? I do see someone in the rundown there.
Yes. We'll talk about it if we have time. And I think we will because there's no hard outs. But Chris needs a little bit of a talking to. There you go, Chris. There's a talking to. I would like a rescindment. Is that a word, DVR?
I don't think so.
Okay. Whatever you know what I mean, please post something on Twitter saying, actually, there was that guy, Nando DeFino. And the reason you know is because Derek Van Riper and myself, we spent a lot of time laughing at him over his zooming Mercedes love. And
we found out earlier, we found out that DVR edits out his laughs before the show.
Yes, because Ariel Cohen spoke to me and he said, listen, it's a really good show, but I wish DVR would laugh at Nando's jokes because Nando's really funny. And I said, okay. And then I mentioned DVR and he's like, well, I edited them out because it sounds like hissing. So that's the answer to that question.
Well, I edit some of them out because it sounds like hissing, but not all of them. Most of them don't get edited out. And rescindment is a word, apparently. I don't know anyone who's used it except for you, Ian, but it is a word.
I am feeling good about that call. I'm going to post that on Twitter.
Next time you're playing Scrabble and someone plays rescind and you have the E, T, N, and M, there you know. You can thank Ian Khan when you score that 108-point word.
Wouldn't you have wanted the M, E, N, and T? I mean, I'm just curious why you went E, N, T, and M. Entom, you know what I mean?
Just because Scrabble tiles are mixed up.
Ah, good answer.
You're looking at your, I mean, I don't know.
Steven Gonsalves. Here's another guy that Derek Van Riper and I are going to laugh at Nando about because he can't stop talking about him. Similar to Yureen Mercedes. Is Steven Gonsalves, is he the next big thing? So let me ask that question of you, Nando DeFino. Is Steven Gonsalves the next big thing?
I feel like DVR hasn't talked.
Yeah, but I want to hear you say it first so we can laugh at you afterwards, and then you can come back 6 months later and say, I said it was the next big thing. So you say why you think it's the next big thing, because it's on the rundown.
Within the context of Yermin Mercedes and Jose De Leon had 9 strikeouts.
Yes,
and
he did.
Taylor Widener. Like, all these guys who were kind of popping up, and I know it's the first week and whatever. But, like, I do think, like, man, I bought, like, 6 of his rookie cards.
Gonsalves?
So the Yermin Mercedes, and I don't want to get too far off topic here.
No, that's not on topic. This is good.
I bought his card for $8.99.
Signed, right? It was a signed copy.
There's only one card ever made of him before, like, the Topps Now stuff came out. It was in the 2021 Topps. It was an autographed 70 years of baseball celebration card. And I'm like, you know what? It's not even, like, his real first card. It's like a 70 years of baseball kind of subset. But it's his first card. I'm going to grab it because I love the guy. And so I did. And then along the way, like, I lost these, you know, $5.15. I should have bid $6 and I would have won it. So I go to look after his explosion. I'm like, maybe I could grab another one real quick. And it was $120. And, like, mm-hmm. It was blowing up. And I texted you guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, like it's breaking my heart, but I think I got to sell this card. And so I posted it on eBay.
And what did it go to?
Right now it's at $127.50 with 3 days left.
See, now I picked up your mean Mercedes in Devil's Rejects. Friday night was his 5 for 5, I think. And you could pick up 4 players a week. And I was like, I was on the phone with Wilson Karaman. I was like, hey, let's just grab Yermin Mercedes. Let's just see what happens. He went 5 for 5. He's probably going to play. And it's a very deep league. So I picked him up. And then the next day, traded him along with Nick Prado and Reed Detmers for Lourdes Gurriel. And Cushing's like, like, you can't do that. That's not a good enough trade. You're not giving enough in the deal. You know, you got to give more.
Is Cushing the guy who's like, hey, I would have given you more for him?
No.
Like the Cushing's, guy who pops up after the trade, like, oh, I would have given you so much more.
No, that's not what he was saying. And then Mercedes goes 3 for 3 and hits home run the next night. I'm like, yeah, right. Didn't give enough. And like, now you can't get Mercedes back. Your mean Mercedes back if your life depended on it. But the natural ebb and flow of a player, that's why you sell at 127, because then you're going to be able to buy him back these cards for $30 in a month. And that's why you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that's part of the joy of playing in this, and playing in that world of, but so Steven Gonsalves, I just think he walks too many people. DVR, what do you think?
I don't know if the stuff is really that good. I know he had some good numbers in the lower levels of the minors, even all the way up to AA with the Twins. I don't know. I don't know if it works in the big leagues. The control absolutely is a problem, right? As he's moved up, mm-hmm. walks have been an issue. He's been banged up with a variety of different injuries. It's a good spot for him to get a chance, though, because the back of the Boston rotation is horrible. My question,
is it, though,
no,
how
it's,
bad
it's
is
bad.
It?
It's pretty bad.
Martin Perez?
Yeah, Martin,
well, Martin Perez, not so good.
Innings eater, Martin Perez. Garrett Richards did not look
Garrett
good
Richards.
His first time out. And I was worried about him coming to the season. I don't have him anywhere. Pivetta is still in that rotation.
Look good. Pivetta looked good yesterday. Look good.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe he'll end up being fine.
And Tanner, Hauk, what is it?
Yeah, it's Hauk.
Yeah, we went through this last week.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to make sure it stuck. Tanner Houck looked great. His slider was working like a mad person slider. I went and picked him back up in DL1 because we remember I said last week that we were going to drop Esan Diaz with Robert Murray. Like, Esan Diaz or Tanner Houck. And we just went back and got Tanner Houck for $24 and feel really good about that. Because, you know, that's one of the worst feelings is when you drop somebody and then they explode and someone else gets them. So you just bid a little bit extra to get them.
I would like to point out that I think his 2018 high walk rate, I mean, like he still had a 1.17 whip that year, so he wasn't allowing hits. I think that's when he started to get hurt. You know, he missed most of 2019 and then last year alternate site.
Okay, but 90 in 100 innings, he had, this was the year that I was looking at in Rochester, AAA in Rochester, 2018, 23 years old, and he had 101/3 innings. He had 95 strikeouts. I was like, oh, that's pretty good, 95 strikeouts. And then I went 55 walks? That's too many walks.
He doesn't give up homers, though, so it could work with that walk rate because he doesn't give up a lot of homers. So it's not impossible.
How hard does he throw?
Well, here's the thing.
Not very hard.
That's how I remember him.
But he is now.
Is he? How hard is he?
What's the velo at now?
I think he touched 94 at the alternate camp, according to the Worcester Telegram.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
That would be different. Because he was averaging a little bit of time he spent in the big leagues in 2018, he was averaging 89.8 on the fastball.
That's how so I remember him.
If he touches 94 and he could sit 92, then that could work. But I still think we're looking at him as probably more of an AL-only league guy or a possible two-start week sort of guy or maybe a streamer. It's hard to stream. It's hard to stream in that division.
Also hard to two-start week a guy that you don't feel good about. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, two-start week, there's few things as bad of a feeling in fantasy baseball than deciding to stream a two-start starter and he blows up in his first start and you're just waiting those 4 days till his next start. That's a painful experience because you're just like, I can't get him out of my lineup and he's going to do it again. So I worry about that. I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah, even Brett Anderson can come out and throw 5 or 6 innings and allow one earned run. I know it didn't happen against the Cubs on Monday night, but those guys that you look at and you never feel good about, they find their way to decent starts even after the first one's ugly. But that feeling is awful. But there are sometimes the first start is so bad, you're hoping they get bumped from the rotation.
You hope they get rained out.
Or you just hope they have like a blister or something and they go on the IL so they can't make the second start.
Yeah.
It's awful. You don't want to root for that, but it feels awful.
I had a question with Robert Marshak about whether we were going to start Frankie Montas last night in GDD. And Robert was like, I don't think so. I just don't think against the Dodgers. And I was like, look, I'm riding with him in AL labor, which I had a great start to. And then Frankie Montas happened last night. It's early. Everything's early. But, you know, I'm really getting into this. It's going to be like, really? And just getting into this now? But this idea that like the Dodgers, to me now, starting somebody against the Dodgers is almost like starting somebody at Colorado because that lineup is just so good. There's just no break in that lineup. And, you know, Bellinger might be out for a couple of days, but either way, it's just like anytime somebody's facing the Dodgers, I'm going to look to get them out of the lineup unless they're, you know, Max Scherzer, I'm going to pitch. Right, but I'm going to pitch Max Scherzer in Colorado too. But it's getting to that level for me. Is that too far? You think, Nando?
No, I think it actually makes sense, and not a lot of people are talking about it. Because you know what it is? It's man, who is that guy? Who's their bench player? Who's awesome? And who could be awesome if he had a full time job? And probably in like 3 years when he goes somewhere else, will be.
I can't think of his name.
Edwin
Rios.
Got
a lot of power. Yeah, Edwin Rios. Thank you, DVR. So you look at someone like that, and you're like, I would love to draft this guy, and I would love to have him on my teams, and I would like to draft that skill versus position. But, you know, like he can't break into that lineup. And when you start looking at it like that, like the Yankees from a couple of years ago, like when you like these people and they can't break into that lineup, that's a very dangerous lineup.
Like Clint Frazier, who has now broken into that lineup, batting ninth and catching balls, looking very scared every time, but still catching the balls. Go Clint Frazier, man. Go Clint Frazier. Went to the Yankee game, by the way, opening day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Went with my wife and my two kids. It was fantastic. If you can, if you're in a vaccinated place or a place where you're feeling very safe and the social distancing, we had a whole row to ourselves and nobody in front of us, nobody behind us.
Well, that's normal for a guy like you're an actor, Ian Khan. right?
Yeah, all right, yeah, all right, whatever, whatever. No. But those, I'm telling you, it was like going to a private concert. It was so much fun. And we lost the game 3-2. And there's this guy like two rows ahead of us who turns around and goes, if we lose this game, I'm just going to be so mad. I was like, dude, man, are you kidding? I'm here. It's free. It was freezing. I'm here with my wife and my two kids on the first baseball game after a during a pandemic. I am so grateful. I won today. Yankees might have lost, but I won. And then the Yankees, and he was like, you know what? I'm here with my dad. You're right. And his dad turns around and says, that's very good. That's how I talk. So it was a sweet thing. If you can go to a game, and I would recommend it. StubHub or Vivid Seats is a really good way to go right now, because it's hard. It's hard. We had to get the kids tested. Like, you know, we had to do a lot of stuff. We had to get tested. But, you know, it was all clean and good. And you felt comfortable masked inside the stadium. It was really a great experience. So if let this tip you into saying, I'm going to take the kids to a game this weekend, because it's outdoors. It's about as safe as you can be. It's really great. Really, really great.
So just go to great.com to get those seats, right?
Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats. What are you doing? It's Vivid Seats.
Come on, man. It's more work for me, but I got to bleep out URLs.
You can leave that in, I think.
Can't tell people Steve, to go there.
All right, so
I don't think they're actually going to in the 2 seconds before we don't go to .com if you're looking for seats.
Now they are.
Okay, what's next? So Stephen Gonsalves, next big thing. We're gonna go around the horn.
I think it's pretty Derek obvious what you guys are gonna say.
No. Derek Van Riper, next big thing?
I think that was Nando saying next big thing in that he's the next guy who's going to come out of nowhere and have a job and people are going to go pick him up, right? Is that what you meant by next big thing? You're not saying he's going to be the ace of the staff. You're saying he's going to be a useful starter for the Red Sox, and that means he's going to be someone we become interested in in fantasy leagues once he gets the chance, right?
I think he'll be 72% owned by August 1st.
In like 15 team leagues?
No, man. I know you guys... And I would ask Chris to put it in the spreadsheet, but we're not talking to him right now.
Yeah, we can still talk to Chris.
I guarantee you, when Chris said that he was tongue-in-cheek that Nando likes everybody, because he knows
it doesn't matter.
He's your
fine.
Guys. You like your guys. No, you're not out here like dancing around like, Wander and Kelnick.
No.
You're not on those guys at all. You like your own guys.
It's not even a hard system that I use. It's just like, look at guys with bad ADPs. And then study them a little bit. And if they had good numbers, then you target them. That's all.
Okay, next big thing. 72% ownership in 15 team leagues. Derek Van Riper.
12.
I'm going to say no. Okay. That.
I know, me too. Nando DeFino, 72%?
Yeah.
15
team. 100%. Okay. He'll be Boston's number two by the end of the season. And people will be all over him.
This is what we did with your mean Mercedes. This is the exact laugh that I had. This is the exact laugh that DVR had when Nando said, your mean Mercedes is going to be huge, guys. He can hit. I mean, he can just hit. Look at his numbers in the minors. I will say this on Stephen Gonsalves. He is worth a speculative pickup in a dynasty league. If you have a minor league spot based on Nando's excitement, and if it doesn't look good, drop him fast. I do not think he gets to 72%, but I am rooting for him now, and that was not expected.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
By the way, shout out to Don Beale, B-I-E-H-L-E on Twitter. He photoshopped that Ian card that was amazing from the Tommy Conley.
I mean, I appreciate that. It was sweet. But at the same time, I was like, God, man, I really have put on weight since the pandemic.
He put your face into Tommy Conley's face.
I understand. I was like, God. No, but was it really Tommy Conley? Because it looked like an old-fashioned card from like the, you know, mid-70s.
I just assumed it was like a Topps Heritage card or something, one of those.
You know. Oh, maybe it is. Maybe that's something. But I just, you know, it was cool. And thank you. Cheers to you for that. All right, Nando, what's next on the list? We're done talking about your mean Mercedes, but can he hold? Okay, let me ask. Can he hold on to this job and be awesome?
You're just reading the stuff that I wrote now.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to move us forward so we can.
Well, you
get
just
to,
said we can skip it. Yeah, let's get to the Ian stuff. Ian has dynasty rankings up, everybody, and he misspelled at least 10 players that we know of.
I misspelled 5 players and got like so much talk. I got myself talking to. People were talking to me, giving me some for that, and understandable. And we'll have to figure out a way to put in the arrows is what people really want.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, shout out to the commenters for being nice about it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, people are great. And I will remind, if you are an Athletic subscriber, you don't need to be to listen to the podcast, but if you are an Athletic subscriber, I'm going to answer any question that you have on my dynasty rankings about dynasty leagues or keeper leagues or anything. I'll give you my best guess. You know, I'll give you my best feeling about it. So they're up now. Akil Baddoo did make the list before his home runs.
You going to move him up for the next ones?
It depends on if he plays. If he plays, he will. I love his parents. His parents going crazy in the stands is like so much fun. I did have one commenter who asked me about Shohei Ohtani. They were like, feel like you're a little high on Shohei Ohtani at 50. That feels a little high. I'm like, yeah, not high at all. Like that's might be too low. Like I could see popping him up to the 30s easily or the 20s. I mean, and in daily league, he's a top 5 player in daily leagues for me, if you can switch him back and forth. But here's how I'm playing Ohtani, because I have him everywhere. He's a hitter, primarily a hitter. But I can flip him to pitcher whenever I want. But now that he's playing 5 days a week, probably 6 days a week as a hitter, he's amazing. He runs, he steals bases, he hits home runs. I mean, he's going to bat at the top of that order. I just think just as a hitter, he's worth that. And then you add in the possible flexibility. Let's say you get closer to the end of the season, like, you know what, my hitting is great, I really need better pitching. You throw him down there. I mean, what an amazing player Shohei Ohtani is. He's the most exciting player in baseball. I mean, sorry about Fernando Tatis and the shoulder. Sorry about that. I did trade him in fear of that very thing in a dynasty league about 2 months ago. Traded him straight up for Soto because I was like, he's going to hurt himself because he just the way he plays, the way he dives. Like, there's a shoulder, there's an ankle. To me, Shohei Ohtani is must watch TV. You guys too? I mean, do you feel the same way?
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Shohei Ohtani, just the fact that he had several pitches above 100, hit a 451 foot home run in the same game. Like, we may never see that again. We've never seen it before, and there's a good chance we'll never see it again. And hopefully we get to watch this for a long time. Hopefully we're seeing Shohei Ohtani at least in one of those roles, probably as a hitter, for the next 10 years. I don't know how long he's going to pitch and pitch effectively and how his role is going to evolve over time, but the fastball looked good. The splitter's got great movement. It just comes down to command for him as a pitcher.
Totally.
And I agree. I mean, I agree with you, Ian. I think the thing that made Ohtani difficult to draft throughout most of draft season was not necessarily knowing in weekly leagues how much they were going to change the role. Like seeing it a little bit and getting a better feel for, wow, he's actually going to hit in games in which he pitches.
That's insane.
That's a game changer. He's going to hit the day before he pitches. It's two more starts per week. That had everyone known that back throughout the winter, I'm sure the price would have been higher. He still would have been underpriced relative to what he could do, because I think with the struggles he had in 2 innings last season as a pitcher, the rose was just totally off the bloom with Ohtani.
Pretty sure it's the bloom was off the rose on that one.
Yeah, the bloom's off the rose.
Okay, just wanted to say, pretty sure.
Yeah. Not my expression. I don't know why I chose that one.
I think we just found the opening for the show.
He hit rock bottom, though, as a pitcher. I mean, he did. Like, and I think we're still at a point. This is where it's easy to get really excited because the first game popped in so many different ways. We're still at the point where if this season does not go well for Shohei Ohtani as a pitcher, the Angels have some bigger long-term questions to figure out. And maybe that's a move into some kind of relief role, right? You could still hit a ton and give quality innings out of the bullpen. Maybe that's the sweet spot in the future if it doesn't all click for him as a starter this year. I think that's still on the table, but I think it's hard to come away from what we just saw in that first game on Sunday night where he did both and not be really excited about him.
I watched every pitch of that while he was in the game. I mean, every pitch. Just, did you watch the game, Nando?
No. Just assume it's always going to be no.
Okay. Well, then I'll tell you what I saw.
I did watch De Leon last night. I watched Jose De Leon last night.
I'll tell you what I saw with Ohtani and his pitching that was kind of interesting. He could not command his fastball at all, like as the game went on. He couldn't locate it. But he had the curveball at his disposal and pretty much threw a strike every single time. I love his energy on the mound. I love everything about this kid. Last night he came in to hit. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I got to go to bed. And it was the eighth inning. And he came in to pinch hit. The whole stadium became electric. He gets up to the bat. It's first and second. It was a weird situation. First and second, nobody out, I think it was. And the catcher kept going out to talk. Maldonado kept going out to talk to him. Then the guy throws a curveball and hits him. And Ohtani just looked at him like, I'm going to mess you up. I think you did that on purpose. And then it was like, wait a minute. It was a curveball. It was first and second with nobody out. I don't think it was on purpose. But it was a strange occurrence. He's just a magnificent baseball player. He's my favorite baseball player to watch, without question.
I wonder if there's something to be said for, like, I remember Jason Giambi, and this is going back 10, 15, 13 years or whatever. When Giambi was with the Yankees and he was not good, and he was like, look, it's because I'm DHing. Like, if you put me at first base where I'm in the game and I'm in the flow of the game and I do all this and that, like I'm better. Like, I need to be in the flow of the game. And a couple others have echoed it throughout the years. Like, that, you know, like, I think it was Giambi again who, like, went into the bowels of Yankee Stadium to hit in the cages. Or, like, I think he rode the stationary bike just to kind of, like, stay pumped. So when he got up, he's like, yeah, I'm in it. Blood's flowing. I wonder if Ohtani, just a sample size of one game, but the fact that he's hitting and pitching in the same game has elevated him to where he's in the flow of things, like, you know, kind of like a mini Giambi.
I think it's something slightly different than that, but on the same ball, in the same area. And I think Joe Maddon actually pushed it. He should have pulled him in the fourth. He gave him three extra hitters that he shouldn't have given him. And then Max Stassi just didn't catch a ball. Otherwise, it would have been a different experience. But I think the fact that they've taken the handcuffs off him completely, and they're just saying, yo, you're the best player in the league other than Mike Trout. As far as we're concerned, you're going to play as much as you possibly can. I think that's freed him up. I think that he just feels like he gets to go back and play in the game. By the way, if Soto was the one who got injured instead of Tatis was the one that got injured, I would have claimed that as stupid. I just have to say that on the record because it sounded a little braggy as far as I was concerned that I was able to get out from Tatis for Soto. So I take that back. You know what I'm saying? Take it back.
You're a good guy like that. Oh, speaking of, we can jump down to the Nationals if you'd like. Although I don't think there's much to talk about, just maybe like a news hit. That
I was so excited about talking about Kyle Isbell. Are we really not talking about Kyle Isbell?
No, I was just using that segue, and then I was going to go back.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But I mean, segue. I just glanced. Like, it's not official or anything. I was looking at a Reddit post that kind of listed all the Nationals who were going to be out.
God, is Trey Turner really going to be out?
That's what it looks like. I mean, no. So no one knows. No one's made the distinction if anyone has COVID versus anyone who had contact with the people who had COVID. So there's no telling how long people are going to be out, but Yadiel Hernandez is up. And I just wanted to point that out to people. Yes. Let's go to Kyle Isbell. So first of all, this is tied into Ian is not being a good group texter with me in DVR. I feel like everything I write, DVR is replying, and then Ian doesn't. But
the kids.
I'm not going to laugh at your jokes, but I will respond to your texts, sir.
Thank you, friend. So one of them was like, hey, Kyle Isbell got a Topps Now card on opening day. And I sent it to Ian. I'm like, hey, man, if you really love him, you'd get this. And he didn't reply to it or anything. But
I'm not going to buy a Kyle Isbell card. But I did buy him for $15 in AL Labor this week.
There you go. Let's talk about Kyle Isbell because you were adamant that Gerard Dyson was not going to make any kind of impact because Kyle Isbell was going to seize that job.
We
didn't really dive into Kyle Isbell after that.
I was really frustrated that Kyle Isbell wasn't available the week before because I figured I could have gotten him for a buck. And then I knew as soon as he was showing to be the regular player I was going to have to spend. But I spent and I got him and I'm picking him up. I picked him up everywhere I could. He's a third round pick who I think is 2018. You know, he's just like one of those young bats. He's got power. He's got a little bit of power. He's got speed. He's going to steal bases. And he's going to play. They really like him in Kansas City. He sat yesterday against a lefty, which was a little like, oh, that's too bad. But I don't know that that's going to last because first chance they got him in the game. So they really like him there in KC. And I think he's got real upside. DVR, what do you think of Isbell?
Yeah, I think he's a does everything pretty well kind of player. So if he sticks in the lineup, it could be good average, double digit homers, double digit steals. You know, if it's low teens in both of those categories, that's probably not enough for him to be useful in 10 and 12 team leagues, but if he gets to the 15 plus range in one or both of those categories, now you're talking. And I think this Royals offense, we've talked about it a bit on a few different shows now. I think they're more deep than they've been in, I don't know, 5-6 years. I mean, probably since they won the World Series, at least. This is the best Royals offense we've seen in a while. So I think we still look at the park and we still look at, you know, at Kansas City for a lot of pitchers is a matchup where you're not afraid to throw your pitchers against them. But I think the lineup context for a lot of these secondary guys especially is good enough for them to be productive. And like with Isbell, he had an injury in the minors that cost him some time, sapped his power back in 2019 at high A. So I don't think those numbers are a really good snapshot of who he is as a player. Of course, with no 2020 minor league season, it was a big question as to where he was at physically a year ago. You know, was he showing more power at the alternate site? Was he showing development as a hitter, using the entire field more effectively? Those are questions we'll never have the answers to, other than maybe getting some reports from Kansas City. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, he was hitting the ball harder. He was doing this. But we'll never know for sure. The thing I worry about with Kyle Isbell is everything he did in the minors was really pull happy. So I'm keeping a close eye on that spray chart to see if he's able to get away from pulling everything. Because if he pulls everything, teams are going to shift him. If teams shift him, the batting average floor drops considerably. But I do think he's a good player, and in leagues where he's still out there, deeper mixed leagues, he should be picked up.
I also think that he could, if they shift him too much, I bet he has good enough back control. He could just throw a little bunt down the third base line and beat it out on a regular basis. And then they'll stop, you know? They'll stop shifting. Yeah, I really do like Kyle Isbell. Especially in AL only. I mean, if you can get him in AL only, grab him. Spend up.
All right. I like it. How about a 12-team league? When's he going to be ready for a 12-team league ascension?
You know, I'm a little worried. I've got to see if he's going to sit against lefties on a regular basis. Also, when Mondesi comes back, it could shift things again, because then all of a sudden maybe they, you know, I mean, not that they're going to keep Nicky Lopez playing. Michael Taylor is also in that, not yet for 12. I don't know. It's like right on the edge there. But Michael Taylor is another guy who's an under the radar play who I was trying to pick up this week in different leagues. Because you know what? I mean, he has the pedigree. When he was first coming up, he was going to be someone who was going to be a nice power speed guy. And, you know, at the age of 30, he's been around long enough. If we go back to the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, he just went into his junior year, right? As a Major League Baseball player. So I think Michael Taylor could surprise a little bit. I really do like this lineup. I really do. Especially when Mondesi comes back, which I'm hoping will be soon.
I feel people are like, they're sick of Michael Taylor. It feels like he's been around forever.
And, yeah, you know, they are. Like, yeah, they are sick of
him. That works to your advantage. I think a lot of people think he's still on LA.
Washington. Michael Taylor.
We were talking about the wrong Michael Taylor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, Michael Taylor from Washington. He was the fourth outfielder for the Nationals for the last
I know who you're
years.
Talking about now. Who was I thinking of?
I can't tell you.
Chris Taylor?
Yeah, Chris Taylor. My bad. Taylor.
He's on the Dodgers, yeah. And he almost got hurt last night, which was, it's a weird feeling when you see a guy who you don't own anywhere looks like he gets hurt, and you realize that if he is hurt, it's going to open up like all sorts of possibilities where it's like, oh, Gavin Lux is going to play every day if Chris Taylor goes out. And then it's like, oh, he's okay. It's like, oh, that's probably for the best. I do like Chris Taylor a lot, actually. I just don't have him anymore because I don't.
DVR, don't edit that out. I want the people to feel that rawness. That rawness mint.
That's what you want.
Feel that rawness mint.
Is that a word?
That's not.
No,
a
it's
word.
Not. No. Right. That's it. No, it's not.
So, Mike, what did Mike Curlin say on Monday about Cleveland?
Oh, he just noted, shout out to Mike Curlin once again, noted that Amed Rosario was playing again over Jimenez. And it looks like a platoon.
Not great.
I thought he was going to shake out with Rosario in the outfield for real. Like, I thought he was just going to cement himself as a center fielder.
Well, Luplow is playing there ahead of Gamel, and you know this if you're playing in AL labor. And Jake Bowers is not playing much.
No.
Even though he got the starting job, quote, starting job, and then Yu Chang is playing first base for the Cleveland Indians. And it's like, huh? What's going on there?
Under the radar.
Weird, weird team. They faced three lefties in their first four games, though. So I think that's got a lot to do with Rosario playing a little more. And I think it's got a lot to do with Chang playing more than Bowers. I think it's just a matchup-based thing from the early schedule.
That's a really bad lineup. I mean, the Indians might be the worst lineup in baseball, except for with the Pirates. The Pirates are the worst lineup in baseball. But the second worst lineup in baseball might be the Cleveland Indians.
But their pitching is so good, which is, it does a disservice to their pitching.
Yeah, well, or, you know, it's weird because if there are fewer runs scored, I find that, you know, the more that you'll get less wins, but you might have pitchers who bear down a little bit more because they have less room for error. You know what I'm saying? So, but the Indians, boy, oh boy, they just can't hit. I mean, they can't hit. They get, you got Jose Ramirez and Eddie Rosario. That's it in that lineup that you can really count on doing anything.
Yeah. Really makes Franmil Reyes, Cesar Hernandez gets on base, but yeah, it's a top heavy lineup for sure. They're below average as an offensive group.
Top heavy, I think it's like top. It's like medium. It's
middle
like
heavy.
It's like top medium. You know,
it's
what
just
I mean?
Got it's a not, gut. It's
not really heavy anywhere. I guess
it's all,
middle,
it's all belly.
It's just not great. Not great.
Watch, they're gonna make the playoffs. They're gonna make it as a wild card. Just watch.
You think?
Yeah.
I'll put down a dollar on that.
I mean, their Vegas line was like 81.5. I think.
Who's the closer in Cleveland, guys? Who is the close? What is it? Can I sell short on that? Who is the closer in Cleveland? Is it going to be Class A? Because it's not going to be. It doesn't. I mean, it's not going to be Karinchak. It's just not. I mean, he's not the closer, and they haven't been in a position to get a closer. You know, to use a closer yet, really. But is it Class A? I think it's Class A.
They were saying committee to begin the season. I'm still holding on the Class A shares that I have for now. I just want to see what happens in a couple of save chances. If they become a team that mixes and matches, and there's plenty of them doing that right now, I think then you're looking at really high K rates sort of being the differentiator between this partial closer here versus that partial closer there.
You know, Merriweather in Toronto, we were not on him. And I saw him pitch on opening day, and he looked like just like a beast. But it was interesting. So everyone was picking up Merriweather. And I put in bids for 110, I think, in Tout Wars or something. But no one was bidding on Jake Diekman. Did you notice that? And I got Diekman there. And people were not bidding on him. And I think it was because they haven't seen... I think he's the closer in Oakland. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think the... There's a couple things there. There could be some situations where Romo gets an opportunity. It should favor Diekman. I think the reason bidding on Diekman was light this weekend was mostly because at this point it doesn't seem like the Trevor Rosenthal injury is serious, but it's a shoulder. It could become a lot worse. I think at this point he has not had an MRI, so that bodes well for a possible quick return. But I think you were right to speculate on Diekman. I think he would get the bulk of those opportunities if Rosenthal misses an extended period of time. And
grab some quick saves now whenever you can. Just grab them. Get them done.
Follow the strikeouts, right? Just follow. It's the Chandler thing. Draft for skill, not roll. Right?
Yeah, but you kind of need the roll sometimes too.
I think closers are the exception to that. I mean, I think for years, like when we talked about pitching analysis, this was back when R.A. Dickey and Tim Wakefield were still bouncing around the league, it was these rules apply to everyone except for the knuckleballers, which seemed fair because knuckleballers are just their own category. No rules apply to knuckleballers. I don't think the draft skills, not rolls mantra, which is awesome, as I've said before, I don't think it works on closers. I think if every team gets to the point where they're mixing and matching, then you can go back to that because you're getting the Ks and you're getting the better ratios to go along with it. But if teams are playing the matchups, if they're going to be like Kansas City, where Wade Davis cleans up Greg Holland's mess one day, and
Jesse Hahn
comes in and gets one, and then Staumont gets one. I mean, if they're going to split it that much and four or five guys are going to get 6 to 8 or 6 to 10 saves, that's a nightmare. That's a nightmare because none of those guys, skills-wise, jump off the page so much that you feel like you have to have them in your lineup all the time.
Like Cesar Valdez is
that's a tough one too.
Yeah, man. I mean, he does not look like a closer. I mean, he but he's closing at least right now in Baltimore. It looks like Cesar Valdez has the job.
I put out a call on Rates and Barrels yesterday. Britt and I were talking about Valdez, and I was just saying I can't remember a one pitch closer whose one pitch was a changeup. And we got an email from OJ, who I think listens to all of our shows. I think he's emailed us about other stuff. And it was an article from Sports Illustrated like 20 years ago about Doug Jones. You guys remember Doug Jones, the old closer with the curly
Tigers,
hair and
right?
the mustache? Yeah, I mean, Tigers, a bunch of teams. But I guess Doug Jones was kind of like Cesar Valdez back then, right? So it can work. It takes a team to just stick with the guy. And maybe in the Orioles case, it's that saves are going to cost them money if they let Tanner Scott get those, right? Arbitration, that's a factor. And they're not necessarily trying to win this year. So the thing is, though, there's got to be something, even when you're rebuilding, there has to be something demoralizing. If Cesar Valdez goes through a stretch where teams have just figured out the changeup and they start crushing the ball against him, if you're a rebuilding team and you're playing well and your team's trotting out a guy that opposing teams are squaring up, that's still frustrating, whether you're trying to go to the playoffs or not. So at a certain point, you know, you're doing a little bit of damage to yourself by letting him go out there if he falls apart. The changeup is a really good pitch, plenty of movement. He induces a lot of weak contact. Home run suppression looks like a real skill that he has, but I mean, this is a guy that started closing out games a little bit last year. I think he had 3 saves last season. He's 36. He's basically a first-time closer at 36. It's a great story, but how long could this possibly last?
Yep. That is the question. I don't think it's going to last terribly long. I don't drop Tanner Scott. Well, I don't know. Maybe you do drop Tanner Scott, but it's an interesting question. Cesar Valdez.
But it goes back to the man, like, you know who would be good? We should actually hit this up in his next mailbag. Joel Pinheiro can answer this question for us. Probably. You know what I mean? Like, if someone's...
I mean, he was talking about mayonnaise as a foreign substance you could put on the ball. I think he could handle this question.
People asked. He's a man of the people. But I mean, like, it is, like, he's been a reliever and he's been a starter. And it's a question of, like, maybe it's the manager's tendencies. Like, are you going to stick with this guy? Are you going to stick with these defined rules? Are you going to use, you know, if the closer you appointed sucks and breaks down or gets hurt or whatever, do you fill him like directly or do you go to a bullpen by committee? You know what I mean? Like, what are the signs you could be looking for? Something like that, because it's not just like we're just talking about. It's not the skill. It's the manager. It's really the
speaking of the manager. I was really interested in Tony La Russa this weekend. Liam Hendricks came into a game. It was a close game. They broke it open in the eighth, and then he trotted him back out there in the ninth. I think they were up 11-6 at the time. And I just thought, why is he doing that? Like, he doesn't need to use him here, but he wanted to give him the save. Like, that was the only reasoning behind it. It's like, I want you to get your first save. He ended up giving up a 2-run home run. I think it was against the Angels. And I forget who hit it. Maybe it was Jared Walsh, who we're about to talk about. But it was interesting to watch La Russa. He's an interesting guy to watch manage because he's old. I mean, he's 76 years old. And it's going to be interesting to see how he plays things out.
He's just too old.
No, I'm not saying he's too old.
That's ageist, man. That's like people making fun of Mercedes for being 28.
No. I'm thinking of Happy Gilmore again.
Oh, God.
He's just too old. With the
DVR's got cabin fever, man.
He's got happy fever.
I'm going to the driving range. I'm going to start trying to tee off like happy. I'm going to try it. My golf game is just starting to come together a little bit, so I need to just completely decimate it with a few golf swings from the 90s.
Just don't punch out, you know, Bob Barker.
Never punch Bob Barker.
Jared Walsh is a beast. Is he not? I love Jared Walsh.
Again, man, it goes back to the role. It's that skill versus role.
Kind of. I mean, role.
Do you really want to root against Albert Pujols? It feels so dirty and bad.
No, Pujols will get his time, but they should get Walsh some time in right field. In that way, you're splitting. I thought about this last night. Walsh should be playing every single day. There's just no question. He's for real. And he can play right field. And you've got Fowler in right, and you've got Pujols on the bench. So what you do is twice a week. Pujols only needs to play twice a week. He doesn't need to play much more than that. Maybe 3 times. You let him play. You let Pujols play first base twice a week. That's as much as you should have him do it because he's really not good in the field. You put Walsh in right field, and then you sit Fowler. That's what you do. And then I'm telling you, that Angels team, I'm going to watch every Angels game this season. I really am. I should have gotten more pitchers. Does anybody else do this? I stay up pretty late watching baseball. So what I find is I take a lot of AL West and NL West players because it's most fun to watch games when you've got your guys going. And I don't think I have enough Angels pitchers. I wish I had more Dylan Bundy just so I could watch him pitch.
What about Alex Cobb? And root for him. Alex Cobb's probably out there.
Alex Cobb looked pretty good the other day. His hair is very long. Very long for Alex Cobb. It's not what you expect. He's got the flowing locks. We weren't expecting the locks. It's a lot of locks.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
That was a good series over the weekend. It wasn't perfect in terms of defense. There were a ton of defensive blunders, including the play that hurt Otani. But
yes,
I mean, Luis Robert had a ball, hit him in the head. Adam Eaton dropped a fly ball in right field that turned into extra bases for Anthony Rendon. I think that was Friday night. I think there was something going on with the lights and the sky, the time of day or something, because guys could not see the ball at Angel Stadium throughout that series. But there were a lot of things I was texting you guys about. Michael Kopech looked really good. Michael Kopech looked like a guy who's going to end up in the rotation later this year and be very good for 5 and 6 inning stretches. I know it's hard to make that leap from a 2-inning relief appearance, but the command was there. The demeanor on the mound was better. It was something that I think the White Sox announcers were talking about. It was Jason Benetti and Steve Stone.
I like those guys. Those guys are fun to listen to. I like
They're
Benetti.
One of my favorite booths. If I'm picking, like, anytime the White Sox are playing someone that I tune into, I can't even think of a scenario where I would listen to the other side. So maybe they're even higher than top five on my list. I really like the way they work together.
That would make him number one.
Well, top three at least, right?
Gotcha. Yeah, definitely. They're my favorite. That's my favorite. And then watching Tim Anderson get hurt is very painful. But it looks like he's going to be okay, which is very lucky. But I want to speak about one under the radar guy who's on that team. Go get Billy Hamilton, please. Go get Billy Hamilton. I took Kyle Isbell. My backup pick was Yermin Mercedes in AL labor. My backup to that was Billy Hamilton. Here's why. There's space available. Adam Engel's not back yet. But here's what I saw with Billy Hamilton, and see if everyone else sees this. He's gotten bigger. Like, the problem with Hamilton was he was like, they would throw fastballs and he wasn't strong enough to deal with it. You know, like he couldn't get the ball out of the infield. Now he's older. I'm telling you, He could win you your league. Now, he could also be dropped in a week.
Wow.
No, but he could win you. He could become a starting player for the White Sox. And if he is, it depends on your bench. If you only got 2 bench spots, you can't do it. But if you got 5, 6 bench spots, speculate on Billy Hamilton. I'm just telling you. I just picked him up last night in that same Devil's Rejects league. It's the best part of that league is that you can pick up players like on the spot and like, boom, you own them. And I watched him get another hit last night and just I saw it was a line drive that was caught, but I was like, he's really hitting the ball now. So that's the one thing. If we think back 6 years ago, when everyone, or 8 years ago at this point, there was like, Billy Hamilton's going to be a game changer in fantasy. Like, what if he does play every day? How many bases is he going to steal? I'll tell you, 50. He'll steal 50. Or more, because he's going to run. And he's fabulous in the outfield. Eloy's out for the season, pretty much. So, you know, why wouldn't they do the high upside? Tony La Russa comes from the Billy Hamilton, Vince Coleman style of game.
Ricky Henderson, without the home runs.
I could see. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go that far. But in terms of fantasy, Billy Hamilton is a guy that you could put in if you're low on steals. If you have him on your team, you're low on steals. Now, starting next week, he could get sent to the alternate site and everyone could say, don't blow your whole fab budget. But if no one else is paying attention, under the radar right now, Billy Hamilton.
So, I love that. I love that.
What types of leagues can you hold him in right now with the limited playing time? What's interesting is I'm looking at some of the underlying numbers, and a 103.8 max exit velo on the shortened season right now for Billy Hamilton. That's his hardest hit ball since 2016, which
I'm telling
is pretty
you,
encouraging.
I'm telling
he's, and he's got three over 95 plus. He only had two last season. So
That's what I'm saying. That's what I saw.
Yeah,
I didn't check the velo numbers, but I saw the ball go off the bat, and I went, "That's Billy Hamilton." He's look at Billy. Billy's all grown up. He's going to get you steals. He'll get you steals.
I don't know how you. To me, he's a lot like Jerod Dyson in terms of how they're using him right now. Right, kind of a part-time guy that comes off the bench and gets
more speed. More than Dyson.
Right now, but once Adam Engel comes back, that could be a problem for Billy Hamilton.
Yes,
that
it
is
could.
Definitely a concern. How deep is the league that you're picking him up in right now?
15 team, I'm picking him up. There's no question. I picked him up in a 20 team last night, right? In a 12 team AL labor, now that I've said this, Colton and the Wolfman are definitely going to be bidding on him, so I'm going to have to bid an extra dollar. Billy,
that should go on into eternity, because then they'll bid an extra dollar, and then you'll have to bid an extra dollar.
The AL only, guaranteed you got to pick him up this week, for sure. I tried to pick him up last week, didn't happen, but I got Isabel, no complaints. 15 team, I'm picking him up. 20 team, I'm picking him up. 12 team mixed. I mean, look, I'm just saying, he started Sunday in left field. He started Monday in right field. He's fabulous with the glove, as opposed to being, you know, like a bad outfielder. He gets to everything. There's a lot of value. I can see a spot for Billy Hamilton, and all he needs is to play. If he plays, he's going to run. He's going to get on base and he's going to run. His exit velo is high. We've talked enough about him. That's what I wanted to say. Billy Hamilton. Is that fair?
I think it's, yeah, this is why we do this show. This is precisely why we do this show. Do some more. DVR has been basically hating on all these players we bring up today, I've noticed.
No, he's not hating on it. And look, again, in a week, Billy Hamilton gets sent to the alternate site. He sits, he plays one game as a pinch runner, and then I go, well, drop him. I was wrong. But if I'm right, and if he does get to play, and if he's grown up physically enough, I just mean, you know, as we get older, we get thicker. He's getting thicker. He's getting stronger. He's balls that used to.
Well, maybe,
you know,
Don Beely can make a card of him and have him realize it.
All I know is that I'm picking up Billy Hamilton, and you should too. If you have enough spots on your bench, don't drop an everyday player for him. But, you know, if you've got a speculative pitcher on your thing, if you had Randy Dobnak because you thought he was going to start, and then you got a save, pitched three innings, gave up five runs and got a save, but gave up the home run to Akil Baddoo. It's that same Akil Baddoo area. You know what I mean? I do like Akil Baddoo.
Who'd you rather have? This depends on what you need, kind of thing?
No, I take Baddoo, actually. I really like Baddoo. I finally got him in TGFBI. I like Baddoo a lot. And also, if for some chance in a 12-team league, Justin Upton is sitting out there, I'm telling you, get Justin Upton.
All right. Well, now you just lost all credibility.
Nope. Nando, he's dropped 20 pounds. He looks like he's 24 again. He decided he was, you know, he's got all the money in the world, and he decided now he's going to go back to being one of the best baseball players in the world. He's going to have a great season. I'm all in on Justin Upton. I did a last minute draft and hold with Cushing last week, and we just couldn't, and we didn't get Justin Upton. It was like the whole reason I was doing this was I wanted to just get more Justin Upton. But I just love Justin Upton. All right, I got to shut up. There's somebody out there going, that con talks too much. What's next?
Yeah, I mean, we should definitely check our iTunes reviews in a couple days.
Oh, no.
Now, look, just the last person I wanted to bring up, and DVR, maybe you can talk about him. Taylor Widener had a nice debut. Was kind of like a surprise in the rotation. It seemed like he was destined for some kind of long relief or maybe down in the minor leagues. Had a very, very interesting minor league career where he was great, 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 and then an 8 ERA, and they just kept trotting him out there when he hit AAA, the PCL, basically. How do you approach someone like Taylor Widener right now?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, I think command should be good enough. The changeup's pretty good. He might be able to hold his own. I'm looking at the upcoming matchups. I definitely wasn't going to use him for that debut against the Padres. So if you did, I think you got a little bit lucky in that spot, because that's a great place to pitch usually, but with that lineup, it is not a great place to pitch anymore. Widener is, he's got Cincinnati at home next time out. I think you can play him in that spot in at least deeper mixed leagues. At Washington next week, Friday. By then, probably going to have more guys back. By the way, Nats, without Alex Avila, Josh Bell, Patrick Corbin, Yan Gomes, Brad Hand, Josh Harrison, John Lester, Jordy Mercer, and Kyle Schwarber, Trey Turner is on the opening day roster, according to Maria Torres, who covers the Nats.
She's great.
For the Athletics.
Maria Torres, awesome. Great new addition.
Yeah. She did the Fantasy Baseball in 15 preview like 10 seconds after she started on the beat. And it was great.
There's one thing about Widener that I'm noticing that I had not noticed before. In 2018 in AA, he really pitched 137 innings. If you've already seen the number, don't you know, obviously. How many strikeouts would you think he had in 137 innings?
Probably like 130.
I've been looking at it, so okay. I can't.
All right, so you said about 130. That's probably what I would expect. 176 strikeouts in 137 innings and only 43 walks.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Double A, little old for the level. That's still impressive.
DVR hates everyone we brought up today. Everyone. Yeah, but you know, his name is Taylor, not Tyler, and that's just dumb, you know? Why put an extra A in there?
Control. Didn't have a bad home run, right? I mean, it could work.
It could, yeah, I don't know. Then
DVR doesn't do this when Eno brings up players, I bet.
No, he brought up Julian Merriweather like on 12 consecutive shows, and Julian Merriweather is Eno's Nando player. And it looks like he's loud right.
Dead right. Loud right.
This early. Like, it looks great. Looks like a fantastic call. And I listen to you guys when you like players I don't like. I try to figure out why I don't like them. That's all. I'm just like, why don't I like these guys? Why do I disagree?
I don't like Taylor Widener, except I like him a little bit more now after that 176 strikeouts and 137 innings. That's really something. That's really good. I mean, 2019, it was a not good. I mean, he got killed. But there is skill there. And if we're going back to Chandler, if you show a talent, if you show a skill, you own it forever. That's good stuff. It's like Jose De Leon, you know?
I mean, I know you're just trying to bait me into saying something, but we do have to close up the show.
Okay, but still, you got to be excited about Jose De Leon.
No, I'm on Steven Gonsalves right now.
Okay.
I don't want to look back. Yeah, I like looking forward and helping people instead of victory lapping.
But how many? Well, it's not a victory lap yet. I mean, how many innings? I know he struck out 9. Did he go 5?
5. He went into the 6th.
Cool.
3 hits.
Can we talk about Carlos Rodon? Didn't we talk about Carlos Rodon a lot?
He came up a couple over times.
Yeah, man. He looked fabulous last night. I mean, he just looked dominant against Seattle and made Seattle look kind of weak, like really weak. Carlos Rodon, another guy who looks pretty bad right now is Andrew Vaughn. That's the other reason why I think Billy Hamilton. I think Andrew Vaughn is going to be, I could see Andrew Vaughn being sent back down to the alternate site. He looks overmatched. If you want to trade for Andrew Vaughn, if you've always wanted to have Andrew Vaughn on your team and you've always been like, I didn't get Vaughn, right? Go trade for him right now. The price will never be lower.
That was like the Joe Adell factor last year, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's the same experience. And he looks, on top of that, not only is he facing the best pitching he's ever faced in his life, but he's also dealing with the emotional issues of playing a different position. He's in left field. He's not used to that.
That's easy moving to the outfield.
No, it's not.
Easy.
It's not remotely.
Anyone can do that.
No, it's not. You're watching the game from a completely different angle. And then instead of thinking about your next step back, because you're just playing first base and you're just in the flow of everything, he's thinking about, wait, I go back on the ball and wait, where's the wall? And boom, boom. He's thinking about stuff that he shouldn't be thinking about. Trying to play against the best players that he's ever played against. It's a bad setup for Vaughn, and it's a great time to buy in Dynasty Leagues. I'm telling you. You can wait another week, but start poking around. If a team is competing or team wants to compete and you're in a rebuild, now's the time to go get Andrew Vaughn. Go send him 2 or 3 players that don't have the upside. You know, send him Michael Brantley, Jameson Taillon, and Brad Hand for Andrew Vaughn. If they're competing and you're rebuilding, they'll take that deal and you'll be thrilled with that deal.
What do you do single season?
You could drop him almost. We're almost there. We're almost there. You certainly bench him. You can't play him right now. He looks lost up there. I'm always looking at the guy's eyes. What does it look like when they fail? what happens in their minds? Is it like Juan Soto? Like, all right, fine, you got me that time. I'm going to kill you next time. Or is it Aaron Hicks? Oh, man, I failed again. You know what I mean? And Andrew Vaughn has the look in his eye like he's frustrated. Like, Rowdy Tellez is the most frustrated baseball player right now. And that's just bad. You got to control your mind when you're playing this game because your mind will kill you in baseball. I could see Rowdy Tellez losing a lot of time. He's not hitting, but beyond the not hitting, he's also handling himself not well. Not that he's causing problems in the dugout. I don't mean that. It's just what the story that's going on between the ears right now for Rowdy Tellez is not a good story.
Yeah, man, that sucks. I love Rowdy Tellez.
Great name.
It's been a week. We got some time.
Yeah, yeah. I look, I've got Rowdy in Tout. I've got Rowdy in AL Labor. So I'm rooting for Rowdy. Rooting for Rowdy.
On that note, we gotta go. What a show, huh?
We'll find out on Apple. We'll find out in the reviews in like 2 days.
Yeah, hey, we've ended our friendship with Chris, so that sucks.
No,
he's a good dude.
No, he had to give you props. You deserve the. If anyone in the world deserves any props in fantasy baseball, you calling out your mean Mercedes 2 years starting 2 years ago.
Well, that's because when he got traded, it's all because of James Fegan.
Okay, yeah. Whatever. All I know is I know your mean Mercedes because of you. And he just had, now sell his card. Sell the card.
We're going to wait 3 days, see if it goes up anymore.
Yep.
Yeah. Still, man, I was so happy and proud of that card. And I got it. And I'm like, I got to do it. I got to do it for my family.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to go. Thank you all for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. For the man who is so important that he commands two rows just for him and his family, Yankee Stadium, Ian Khan.
Just because I'm a person during COVID.
For the man who also edits out his sobs of sorrow, Derek Van Riper.
Yeah, I definitely wield the editing tools with a lot of excess these days.
Go pick up Chris Taylor, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. Good talk. Good talk. It's Billy Hamilton.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.